Good afternoon. My name is Simon, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the SNC-Lavalin Third Quarter 2010 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Jasmet, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I trust that you have received a copy of the third quarter results, as well as the PowerPoint presentation to guide you through today's call. You can access both documents in the Investor Relations section of our website at snclavalin.com. During today's conference call, Pierre Duhem, President and Chief Executive Officer, will highlight the third quarter results, and Gilles Laramé, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, will review the company's financial performance in greater detail. Following their presentation, you will have an opportunity to ask questions. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that, as detailed on slide number 3, certain statements made in this presentation may be forward-looking. Such comments represent management's best judgment and expectation as at today's date, are subject to certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and cannot be guaranteed. I would now like to turn the conference over to Pierre Duhem.
Thank you, Denis, and good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us this afternoon. Before I focus on specific details, let me start by saying then that we have good reason to be pleased with our year-to-date result. Our net income increased, our cash position remained solid, and our backlog has reached a record high of $12.7 billion. An increase of nearly $2 billion since the beginning of the year. And it does not include the recent project awarded in British Columbia, Jordan, and Libya for a total of about $1.1 billion, and there is, I would say, more to come. Our revenue for the third quarter also increased compared to the same period last year, and we expect this trend to continue for the fourth quarter. That being said, let's look at the presentation slide in detail. As I highlight in on slide number 4, net income for the third quarter 2010 was $128.2 million compared to $103.1 million for the third quarter 2009, reflecting a higher operating income from the power, infrastructure concession investment, and infrastructure and environment segment, partially offset by an operating loss in the chemical and petroleum segment. Please note that the power segment includes the disposal of SNC-Lavalin's energy control system asset to GE. This transaction generated a gain after tax of $19.6 million. As you can see on slide number 5, net income for the 9-month period end September 30, 2010 increased by 14.3% to $297.9 million compared to the corresponding period in 2009. The net income from ICI was $37 million higher than last year, mainly due to higher net income from AltaLink and from Highway 407, as well as from the Adret and Nus power plant in Algeria, which started operations in the second half of 2009. Net income excluding ICI was in line with last year, as higher operating income in the chemical and petroleum and power segment was offset by lower operating income in the mining and metallurgy sectors, infrastructure and environment, and other industry segments. Now turning to slide number 6. As expected, revenue for the third quarter of 2010 increased compared to the third quarter of 2009, mainly due to higher package revenue. Revenue for the 9-month period end September 30, 2010 at $4.4 billion are now close to the $4.5 billion achieved for the same period in 2009, as lower service and operation and maintenance activity were partially offset by higher infrastructure and concession investment revenue and as well higher package activity. We expect our fourth quarter 2010 revenue to also be higher compared to the corresponding period in 2009, mainly due to expected higher package revenue from our major project and because of the success we have had in signing new contract recently. Consequently, we anticipate that our overall revenue for the year will be higher. The company's balance sheet position remains solid, with cash and cash equivalents of $1 billion at September 30, 2010. Our freehold cash remained also solid at $700 million, which at September 30 did not yet include the proceeds from Valenair and Trendcap sales. Our cash balance position us well to seize strategic opportunities for business acquisitions and concession investment. Slide number 7, the company total revenue backlog for the fourth category, service, packages, operation and maintenance, and ICI, increased to a record high of $12.7 billion at the end of September 2010, compared to $11.4 at the end of June 2010 and $10.8 billion at the end of December 2009. In October, we were awarded two major projects, Juanita, a $587 million contract to design and build the Juanita expansion, a 235-megawatt hydroelectric power facilities on the Pend'Oreille River in British Columbia, Canada, and Kufra, a $450 million contract to develop the Hal Kufra wellfield, which is part of the major Great Bend River water supply system, currently under construction to transport potable water from the southern Libyan desert to urban center in the north. In November, we were awarded an $80 million engineering, procurement, and construction contract to upgrade and increase the capacity of two sulfuric acid plants in Aqaba, Jordan. We are particularly pleased since all three of these contracts were signed with repeat clients of ours, which is a sign of confidence in the quality of the service we are delivering. They will be booked in the fourth quarter backlog, and therefore are not included in the September 30, 2010 backlog. In October and November, as you can see on slide number 8, we complete the sales of our investment in Valenair and Trendcap. We sold our 10% interest in Valenair for net proceeds of $59 million for a loss after tax of $1 million, and we sold our 11% interest in Trendcap for a net proceeds of $118 million for a gain after tax of $27 million. That gain will be recorded in the fourth quarter 2010. We also completed in November a $37 million investment in an infrastructure concession in India, our first concessions in a BRIC country. Considering the growth potential of this country, we will continue to look for other opportunities in line with our overall strategy. Lastly, we also announced that we were not exercising our priority right of first refusal to acquire 10% of the total issued and outstanding share of 407 International Inc. from Sintra Infrastructuras S.A. Although we are disappointed in the outcome, we continue to believe in the strong underlying value of 407, which is a premier infrastructure asset. As you will note on slide number 9, we have numerous and very interesting opportunities in many sectors and country. The Infrastructure and Environment Group continue to be very active. Not only they have signed a $450 million Kufra contract just mentioned, but they also form a cooperation alliance between SNC-Lavalin and Alusa Engenharia of Brazil to focus on large-scale infrastructure engineering, procurement, construction package, and concession opportunities in Brazil. In sectors such as road, airport, and other facilities related to government work, the FIFA World Cup, and the Olympics in 2007 in Rio. The group is also looking at worldwide opportunities, especially in Canada, the Middle East, and North Africa, and particularly for bridges, buildings, hospitals, mass transit system, roads, and water treatment and distribution facility. In the power sector, we continue to see an increase in activities. We are looking at many opportunities in North America and internationally. As mentioned, the group just signed the Juanita project in British Columbia, and it continues to see other opportunities for new hydro generation projects. It also continues to see opportunities in thermal power generation projects, as well as upgrade and new transmission and distribution system. On the nuclear side, We continue to pursue opportunities for upgrades mainly in Canada and in the United States. As for the ACL file, the process is still underway and we are awaiting news. In the meantime, due to a non-disclosure agreement, we are not allowed to comment further. The Chemicals and Petroleum Group continue to pursue many opportunities. We see a resumption of activity, particularly in Canada, the Middle East, and North Africa. During the quarter, the group signed a series of smaller FEED study contracts in other sub-sites for McMurray and Venezuela. We are currently bidding on major prospects in Canada, North Africa, Russia, and South America, particularly in Venezuela and Colombia. We have also been especially active in bidding on major projects in the Middle East, such as the Wasit and Sheba, the result for which will be known only in 2011. The mining and metallurgy sector continues to see a resurgence in activity, which we believe should lead to more prospects and projects in the near future. We are targeting numerous opportunities worldwide, particularly in coal, copper, gold, iron ore, nickel, and potash. Africa, Australia, Canada, South America are strong markets for us in this sector. Our operation and maintenance group continue to pursue new projects with our engineering and construction divisions and to develop both in its traditional market and new market, such as camp management, mainly in Canada. And finally, our infrastructure concession investment groups continue to pursue many opportunities in Canada. The group has been very active recently in divesting some of its non-core investment, namely Valenair and Transcap, adding approximately $175 million to our cash balance. This additional cash is positioned well for the new core concessions. In conclusion, we are very pleased with our result for the third quarter and first 9 months of the year. Our net income increased, our cash position remains solid, our third quarter revenue increased, and our backlog is at a record high. With these good results, we now expect that our 2010 net income growth will surpass our annual long-term growth objective of 7 to 12%. Also, our strong backlog bode well for 2011. We will inform you of the 2011 outlook at the next quarterly conference call since our budget exercise will have been completed and approved by the board.
Thank you, Pierre.
I will now turn to Gilles and for his result. Thank you.
Thank you, Pierre. Turning to slide number 11, consolidated income statement. Starting with the net income, as Pierre mentioned, we increased the net income to $128 million. If we exclude the gain from the sale of ECS, we would end up with a net income of $108.6 million, which is higher still than 2009 third quarter. That being said, the third quarter of 2009 was the highest net income last year with regards to total profit, and in particular for net income excluding ICI with $93.7 million. So we're very proud with $110.9 million of our performance, and even though we would exclude the gain from ECS, we would add $91.3 million. So we're very happy and proud of our performance in this third quarter. Looking at our revenue, as mentioned by Pierre, our services revenue diminished by 8%, mainly due to lower activities in the mining, energy, and in the chemical petroleum sector. However, as mentioned also by Pierre, we're quite optimistic in terms of signing new services contracts in those two sectors in the coming period. The packages revenue went up by 41%. You may recall that in the last quarter we had mentioned that we were expecting the third and fourth quarter we would see our total revenue to increase, and certainly driven by an increase of packages activity, and we saw a 41% increase of our package revenue in the third quarter. The gross margin is higher. Certainly, one of the reasons for that is the good performance of the packages activity, but also the gain on the ECS transaction. That being said, you may recall that our packages to gross margin to revenue was quite significant last year. The 2009 performance was about 16%, and we expect that for 2010, that performance would be about in line, which we were not expecting when we did our expectation in our MD&A last year. So certainly we're very satisfied with the performance of our packages activity, and our services have been also delivering good performance as well on the gross margin ratio as well. Our selling and general administrative expenses went up mainly because of selling expenses that were higher. The interest and capital tax from ICI in the quarter, coming from $33 million to $44 million, increased because of the interest that relates to two new concessions we obtained, the McGill Hospital and the Chinook Road. So that's the main reason. And on a year-to-date basis, these two reasons are there, plus the additional debt for AltaLink. As you all know, AltaLink is building more transmission line in that regard, as increased is debt level. If we look at the income tax for the quarter, the income tax rate was low in the quarter, and again related to the capital gain related to the disposal of the ECS activity. Turning to slide number 12, if we go by results by our operating activities, first come infrastructure and environment, whereby we, on a year-to-date basis, our revenue were up, as we were expecting when we started the year, and our operating income was lower. However, we can see that in the third quarter, we certainly had very good results, and as well on a year-to-date basis, which were driven by favorable reforecasting on certain major projects. So the performance of infrastructure and environment at this stage, after 9 months, 2010, is better than what we were anticipating at the beginning of the year. Chemical petroleum is in a positive operating mode, and for on a year-to-date basis, better than 2009, as 2009 was difficult in that regard. However, in the third quarter, we had a loss of $2.8 million, reflecting unfavorable cost reforecast on package projects. We don't expect that to be a recurring thing. However, we add on two package projects some challenges. For the power segment, we were expecting lower activities, and as you can see, our revenue are lower from $655 million to $532 million. However, our operating income is higher, $89 million. However, it includes $22.8 million of the gain on the disposal of the ECS activities. Excluding that, it's still the operating income better than 209, and which is better than what we were expecting, and certainly due to better gross margin to revenue ratio. Mining metallurgy, we have encountered over the last few quarters lower activities and resulting in lower operating income. We are certainly looking for signing major services project and seeing a bit of a comeback on the revenue side for the mining and metallurgy sector. Auto industry, we had lower activities which resulted in lower operating income. Operation maintenance, as we were expecting higher gross margin to revenue percentage, we see that the operating income resulted in $26 million compared to $21 million in 2009.
And lastly, the infrastructure concession investments, we had a better operating income of $51 million compared to $14 million. That is mainly due to higher contribution from AltaLink 407 and SKH, for which operation in 2010 was for 9 months compared to 3 months for 2009. Turning to our balance sheet on slide 13, as mentioned by Pierre, our cash and cash equivalents remain solid at $1 billion, while our free old cash is at $700 million, which does not take into account the disposal after the quarter of two concession investments, being Trendcap and Valenair, which would increase that $700 million by about $177 million. A few items on our balance sheet to attract your attention to. Other current assets, there was an increase compared to December 31st, 2009, and that increase relates to restricted cash that, again, are related to two of our new concessions, being the Chinook Highway and also McGill Hospital. And likewise, on the other non-current assets, the increase is mainly due to restricted cash on the McGill Hospital concession. In return, you can see the non-recourse from infrastructure concession investment long-term debt increasing by about $800 million. That is due to the debt that we raised to finance the two concessions that I just mentioned. Also, the fact that for AltaLink, the level of debt being higher is the other reason for that. And as well, you can see the property and equipment from ICI being higher by about $250 million, and the increase is mainly due to AltaLink increase in higher capital expenditure. Turning to slide 14. So as mentioned by Pierre, a $12.6 billion backlog compared to the previous quarters of 11.4 in June and 10.8 in December. We saw a reduction in our services backlog, but still about in line, however, and we're positive about that in coming quarters. However, in the packages backlog, it has been quite a good increase from December 2009 of $4.2 billion to now $5.8 billion, and like mentioned, did not include the recent announcement of packages contract in Libya, Jordan, and also British Columbia. So overall, that bodes well for 2011 with that level of backlog activity. Page 15, backlog by segment. As mentioned, we saw the performance of infrastructure investment after 9 months, and it certainly looks good for 2011. As we can see, the infrastructure and development backlog being much higher than December 31st, 2009. And likewise for the power sector has been increasing as well. So those two sectors have been doing good. Chemical petroleum, as mentioned by Pierre, there is good opportunity up and coming, and certainly we remain optimistic about that segment, and as well as for mining metallurgy, for signing new contract. But the level of backlog has remained for mining logic about the same level. Turning to slide number 16, when we compare our performance to our peers on the return on average shareholders' equity, we are the best performer in the peer group that we're looking on this page. And certainly on a PE ratio, we could not say that we're attracting the highest level of PE, despite a very solid performance. So we're pleased with our performance and certainly looking forward to 2011. On this note, we'd open the floor for questions. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Tupholme with TD Securities. Your line is open.
Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I was wondering if you can provide a little bit more color around the favorable reforecasts in I&E this quarter.
Again, similarly, they are projects that are being completed, and as they are being completed, we see that contingency and for risk and reserve are no longer required, and project manager are liberating them. So really, it's a continuation of what we've seen a bit since the last 9 months now in the I&E segment, whereby very good completion of project. So it's a solid performance, and that drives, that segment drives the overall packages gross margin to revenue to a higher than normal level.
Okay. Thank you. In terms of your updated guidance, on your last conference call, in terms of your old guidance, you suggested that you could apply the old guidance to both your ICI EPS and your ex-ICI EPS. Is that possible to do that with your new guidance as well?
Our new guidance, what we're saying, we're telling the overall net income should surpass, the consolidated net income should surpass our annual objective of 7 to 12, so should be higher. However, we're not providing any guidance on the different two segments. However, one could extract from it, if you look, that, on the ICI with the advance we do have right now activities, when you look at after 9 months and the fact that we will have a gain of about another $26 million driven from the sale of Trendcap net of Valenair sale, that will certainly be quite above. On the net income excluding ICI, we are right now at $247 million compared to $246 million. And in the last quarter of 2009, we were at $76 million. So, it won't necessarily change by a substantive amount for the overall to change radically. So certainly, the increase over the 7 to 12 is certainly driven in large part from the ICI activities.
And the guidance does include the benefit of all of the gains, be it from the sale of TrendCap or the technology assets, right?
Correct. Very good. Exactly.
And if one were to exclude those,
I think we won't necessarily comment on that. I think our performance has been very good, and we're optimistic about it, but really it's the overall performance that I think you get the picture on excluding the gain of ECS on a year-to-date basis. As an example, net income excluding ICI, and then we exclude on the ECS gain, we would be behind, and certainly we are optimistic to be in line after 12 months, but we're not providing specific guidance. I think our specific guidance at this stage relates to the overall consolidated net income being higher than 2005, above the 12%.
Okay, fair enough. Just one last question for me. In terms of the two asset sales, well, I guess, sorry, pardon me, the three asset sales, but two of which have related to the ICI segment, this is something you had talked about in the past, going back three, four quarters. We've seen that happen now with these two sales. Can you talk about the potential for any further sales of non-core assets like that?
I think these were the most, I would say, in the ICI category, the most one that were not necessarily as strategic as any others. There may be some small other one, but really those one as they were, initially there was one major project with Gaz Métropolitain that we were thinking many years ago, But as of today, you know, we had no anticipation of that. In that regard, it was no longer strategic. So there's no plan at this stage to think of selling any other at this present moment.
Okay, thank you, and I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Anthony Zika with Scotia Capital. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Excellent quarter.
Thank you, Anthony.
Could you give us some light on terms of prospects on the service side? Gilles mentioned that we do see a pickup most probably going into 11. Could you also mention a bit about what's happening on the margin side? Is there any competitive pressure there? And what are some of the challenges that you face winning some more business on the services side?
Well, the big contributors to the service side, as you know, Tony, it's I would say chemical and petroleum, mining and metals are the two big when we are there. Also on the infrastructure side, also we have a good service as well. But let's go one by one on the mining and metals. There is many prospects, you know, we have been, in fact, awarded, you know, a year ago, and some example of this has been in Brazil, for instance, and customers have been slow to release the work, so, and we have been slow, and we did the right things to include them in the backlog. So just that, you know, would have, as customers now are more and more bullish and release the work, that's what have an impact on the backlog for the service. Also, at the same time, you know, we are still bidding and we are still winning job, and I'm quite positive of what's going to happen from now on to the rest of the year. So that's also look better. You're not without knowing that even Rio Tinto Alca is talking to go further with their own projects. So that's a positive sign for me. In the chemical and petroleum sectors, same situation. When we look at the price of oil, that certainly will have an impact on the market and on the business there. And there is a mix of two here. It's chemical and petroleum is a mix of service, and there's also some customers go that route, and others goes with the package. So we'll have an impact on both. But I can see also an impact on the service side. Infrastructures spending are not slowing down. You know, we see more of these. I think, you know, there is I'm not here talking only on Canada. As you know, we are going overseas. We are going everywhere, and there is also good potentials. And we are also expanding, I would say, on the offering. Tony, you asked about the margins. Of course, there is pressure on the margin. There is no doubt about it. But in the service sector, we are able to mitigate quite well. I don't see margins going below traditional bracket we have been talking about. We were talking about 25 to 30%. So I still believe, you know, even with the market, the pressure, all that stuff. Because of the niche we are in, because of the quality of the services we are delivering, because of the long-term relationship we have with customers, we are quite comfortable to say that margins bracket would be about right. So I trust, I hope I answer your question, Tony.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. With reference to the packages, the prospects seem to be also quite positive. In terms of the momentum going into 11, it's you feel pretty comfortable, Pierre, that it will continue to go on?
Yeah, I feel absolutely comfortable. And I mean, I just look at what we are bidding right now. We have been bidding quite a lot, and I think we have been quite successful. As you can see, we have been growing our backlog nicely since the beginning of the year. And the activities in the bidding is not slowing down at all. We are still bidding quite well. And I see many good prospects.
And the last question, what's your take on the Canadian market vis-a-vis the rest of the world? You know, in Canada, we've seen several Canadian engineering firms, some of them manufacturing related. They've been suffering from project delays and also deferral of revenues. Is this something that's temporary, or what's your opinion on the Canadian marketplace?
Well, there is too. Suddenly, I believe on the let's say industrial sector, resource sector, the better is to come. In the infrastructure side, in the building side, I think we have seen quite good activities. It's still good, but it's harder to do it, you know, as we have seen in the past. But I must say, SNC-Lavalin, we have been expanding our offering, and we are quite happy with the results.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Sarah O'Brien with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, guys.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Can you talk a little bit about chemicals and petroleum, what issues you're seeing in the quarter about sort of re-estimating packages, and should we be concerned just going forward, given that you do have some pretty nice large bids out there package-wise for chemicals and petroleum?
Well, I mean, the reforecasting is something we do on a regular basis, and we look at the at a package, and we look at our business, and if we think there is a higher risk on the packages, you know, we may decide to do reevaluations. I don't think that reevaluations is exceptional, but it's not something we see as repeating. So, but never know. But at this point of time, I think, you know, we have done what we have to do, and for the futures, I'm still quite positive.
Okay, just a number of your competitors, I guess, in the chemicals and petroleum area, have commented that, you know, projects that were bid on in 2010 could yield lower margins in 2011. Just wondered if you expected any of that to be your case.
Well, it's the margin and all that stuff. You know, I think it's always a concern. You know, when you see a very tight market, especially I would say in the Middle East, the market is quite competitive, as you all know. I mean, we have a high competition over there. But in other market, the margin still preserved. And when you put the two together, and we are able to go in one direction and the other directions. Certainly a lot of pressure, but still, you know, relatively positive regarding the outcome.
Okay, great. And then just following up on Tony's question, backlog, you're still optimistic that, or convinced that there's some good growth there. Would you expect the backlog number to grow into 2011 or sort of replenish itself from here on?
Well, you see, we are right now at level high. I still believe there is more to come. And I feel positive, you know, but I would not give a guidance at this point of time for 2011, but I certainly feel positive than that. We have not seen the best yet.
Okay, great. And maybe just a question on concessions, two questions actually. One on the getting into India with no E&C revenue attached to it. Is there any, like, what's the logic behind that, investing $37 million in a toll road?
Well, first of all, there is some ENC. We are the owners and engineers on that road. But at the same time, you know, the partners we have on that toll road have many other concessions and many other projects. And that's helped us, you know, to open the door and to expand our service offering with that customer. But at the same time, it also opened the doors to many others, which now realize, you know, SNC-Lavalin's presence in the market. And we are certainly happy with the attentions and the contact we had so far. So I disagree with your statement. There is no service. There is a service, and that is certainly a nice, you know, start for a huge market. I mean, there is no doubt that market is huge, and the intent of SNC-Lavalin in investing in concession is in India is not different than anywhere else. We are going after business where we can have ENC contract, not only concession.
Okay, perfect. And just lastly, based on the concession sales that you've had in the last quarter and pulling out of the Transaxio, just wondered if we should read in, I mean, are you seeing big M&A opportunities? Is that at all tied into what's going on with concessions and Transaxio, or is it just the timing is that it was time to sort of sell Trendcap and some of the GasMet shares?
Well, we have been talking about selling Trendcap and Gaz Métro for quite a while. So we thought, you know, the timing with the restructuring of what happened at Gaz Métro, we thought the timing was right, and that's what we have done. It was non-core, timing was okay, but I don't interpret that as a trend, you know, and we see the world wider than what it is. In fact, it was a good opportunity. We did it.
Okay, so it wasn't, and again, like the pulling away from Transactio was not related to other opportunities that you see, or was it just?
No.
Okay.
The transactional, again, look at as it must be. If it was not, you know, the right, you know, financial transaction for us, we have not done it. So what you should retain of that one is we are very, very disciplined in our investment. And when we think, you know, it's not worth the effort and the risk we are taking, we don't do it. That's that simple.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Claude Brault with BMO Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just staying a little bit on the same subject, acquisition, I mean, can you talk about how the market these days, if there's a lot of opportunities, if you're talking to people, what is the, you know, assuming, what is the problem? Is it that, you know, the pricing might be too high or they're not yet ready to sell or, you know, please talk about the acquisition opportunities out there.
Well, there is we at Saint-Sylvain always have a quite a large portfolio of potential acquisitions target. And we have been quite successful at bringing on, you know, year after year, a few of them. And I must say most of them have not been huge ones. But I must say also what we are doing right now and what we have done, you know, so far this year are more strategic acquisition where we go in a specific product or we go in a specific country. So, and that will continue. Regarding the wider market and the large market and all that stuff, certainly we are interested to what happened there. The pricing, I don't find it cheap. I find it, you know, still expensive in some regards. Better than before, but still expensive. Considering the fact that a part of SNC-Lavalin is, you know, profit result have not been that great so far, so it's making, you know, everybody a bit nervous about what's going on right now. But suddenly we as Saint-Sylvain are suddenly pleased with what we are doing, and I think we can continue to grow the way we have done it in the past.
I think that when you became CEO, you mentioned that you wanted to become one of the top 10 in oil and gas, and I mean, that's a major challenge because there's some very, very big players out there. Do you still see this as a priority? And, you know, how's the process going toward achieving this objective?
Yeah, there is many ways to get, you know, to that point. And suddenly it's still an objective. The timing to get there, you know, may be a little bit longer, but we are working in that direction.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Hamza Mazari with Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Thank you. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question. If you could maybe just touch on how competitive the bidding environment right now is for new projects, specifically, you know, if you've seen any change relative to, say, last quarter or a couple more months ago, and whether you're seeing any increased competition from some of the Chinese and South Korean ENCs, particularly on fixed price work, and is that competition from the Chinese and South Koreans, you know, restricted to the Middle East, or are you seeing them in other markets as well? Thank you.
Well, the competitions I would say from the Korean and the Chinese are in very, very specific and limited market, and we have the chance to operate in so many countries and so many markets. I would say we don't see them on the majority of our market. So that's why, you know, we see the pressure from them. But at the same time, you know, there is also a way to mitigate that things, and we are also trying to do that. But being that diversified gave us an advantage, and some market, like I said earlier, some markets still quite good, and competitions are limited, and we are certainly focusing on these and taking advantage of our strong, you know, presence or expertise. So I would say pressure in some markets, but overall, I think we are going to continue to deliver good results.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Benoit Caron with National Bank. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Firstly, Pierre, on Algeria, the new laws have been put in place, and I know that in the past this has been a very good market for you. And I'm kind of wondering, what can SNC do to mitigate delays or actually mitigate the potential margin deterioration from these new, the way they're going to play the rules now, and or is it just the way it is, and that's the way it's going to change, and it'll be there's not much you can do about that.
Well, I see that as both, you know. I mean, it's always the same thing. It's a threat and opportunities, and I would say certainly there is it will be a different ball game there, and we'll be adjusting ourselves. The good news, however, it would be much more difficult for some competitors and from some countries to adapt themselves to the situations. We at SNC Lavalin, we have been in Algeria for so long. We have already our own company in Algeria. It would be very, very easy for us to adapt to that new reality. But many of our competitors will not be able to adapt to that kind of market. So as you can see, that kind of result, when countries are imposing higher local content and countries like which are not fully developed, well, the result is you limit the competition and the margin get better.
Okay, so I understand that in the past you guys have been relying more and more, or I would say more than competitors, on the local workforce. So that would probably come to the detriment of some Asian group that actually come with their own workforce as opposed to hiring local Algerian workers. Is that the case?
That's the case. And like I say, we have been doing that for a long time. I mean, it's no doubt, you know, when we decide to go, let's say, to South Africa, when we are deciding to go to Brazil, when we are going in Saudi Arabia, and we are going all over the place and buying and acquiring company, is with the fact that we don't believe, you know, in the futures, no matter if there is a law or not, you know, doesn't matter. We don't believe in the futures you are able to export man hours from foreign countries to this country if there is any potentials to deliver locally, any customers or country, or even plain market conditions will force you to be local. So my strategy always been more and more to be what we call local, and that's the strategy I'm going forward in. And the situation in Nigeria for me, I see it more as an opportunity than as a threat.
Okay, and then turning on to Brazil, is that pretty much the same kind of business model that you're trying to emulate over there? I've seen the acquisition of Marte Engenharia and now the partnership with Elusa. I'm just wondering, I suppose that's not enough to tackle all of the opportunities that you contemplate there, and I suspect you'll be doing more in terms of consolidation and partnering with locals over there?
Yeah, we were doing more, but we still have also possibilities for more acquisition in Brazil and also in Latin America. So we're going to pursue both, you know, alliance. What we have done with Alunza, it's an alliance, and because it's very focused on one sector and in constructions mainly, where we can also do some engineering. But there is also the oil and gas market we need also to go after. When I look at what Petrobras is going for, I think there is a role for SNC Lavalin in that market and in that country. So there is more focus and more to come in Brazil.
All right. Well, that's good news. Thanks for your time. Great quarter, guys.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Yuri Link with Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Yuri.
Just following up on the Brazil question, a lot of contractors are targeting that market for obvious reasons. What are the acquisition multiples like there relative to North America?
Well, we have done so far. We have done two, and we have been looking at many. I would say it's not big difference. To a point, it's probably. It depends on what you're looking at. You know, if you're looking at a big public company, either in Brazil or in North America, the P/E ratio is quite substantial. But if you target a smaller company, which are private, and they can see a benefit to join a company that gets instead of them, then you have a better markup or P/E ratio. So as you have seen, you know, we prefer that second model.
Right. Just a question. I read that SNC was one of six or seven contractors selected by Saudi Aramco to sign general engineering services contracts. I believe Aramco is trying to get the number of contractors they use down to a more manageable number. And is this true? And what are the implications, given that you know that's a big client and they have a lot of work going on?
Yeah, and it's a bit the same story here than you have in Algeria. Saudi Aramco and Saudi Arabia, and I will go at large here. I say Saudi Arabia is in a mode to have a huge development in all sectors, not only Saudi Aramco, but Saudi Arabia at large. It could be powers, could be infrastructures, could be new town. And it's driven by the fact that there is a huge push in population growth in Saudi Arabia. But it's amazing the growth they have there. So they suddenly need to create, you know, business and job for their own people in Saudi Arabia. It's a country with quite a large population for the region. So that said, they have a fantastic university. They have a lot of people and studying and graduating from university. And they are asking, as I think, to, legitimately, to have more and more work done in Kingdom. So what you're referring to with Saudi Aramco is they are going to award, man hours to, if, the number is not known yet, but to five or six company, which are a local company in joint ventures with foreign companies to bring the expertise. So this is what we are looking at, and suddenly we have positioned ourselves very well with our local partner over there, and we are waiting for Saudi Aramco to announce their choice. But as you said, we have been shortlisted. There is a few company left, and we are waiting the news. But it's a trend, and for me it's positive.
Okay, and lastly, before I turn it over, last stab at acquisitions. If you were to rank order kind of the end markets that you would like to bulk up on, what would they be? And second part of the question, given your comments on acquisition multiples being more attractive on private companies, does that preclude you from doing an acquisition of a publicly traded company?
Well, I will ask yourself a bit to clarify what you mean by the end market. What do you mean by
maybe you want to bulk up in transportation infrastructure versus mining?
Yeah. Certainly, we are interested in infrastructures, and we are extending in that sectors, and we are all the time considering, but it's not limited to infrastructures. Mining and metals, there is few opportunities. It's always, you know, opportunistic when I see them because there is very, very few of them. Oil and gas, CMP, it's a much wider market and it's a much bigger market, so there's more opportunity in that sector. So infrastructures as well, there's a lot of opportunity in that sector. So it's easier, let's say. Power also, you know, is also a sector where we are looking. So we are not limiting ourselves, you know, in one sector and focusing only on one thing. We are looking at, like I said, you know, a large pool of opportunities, and we keep all the time, evaluation of all, And when we see things, you know, making sense, you know, we like to move for it. So it would be in all directions. It would not be on one product. Private versus public, like I said, I prefer, you know, and it's easier to do it so with private company than public company, but we don't preclude, you know, either public company.
Great. I'll turn it over. Thanks, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Frédéric Bastien with Raymond James. Your line is open.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour, Frédéric.
Just a few questions on the ICIs. First of all, on the Chinook Roads partnership, have you disclosed what your equity investment in that concession is? And secondly, has it been, if you have fully funded it, or whether there's more funding to be made?
I don't know if we've disclosed the equity investment we're to make, but that being said, it's not something that, you know, we would be shy of disclosing, but not to my recall, I think we haven't disclosed it.
Okay, and then just turning to the MUHC Glen campus, you are investing $150 million. Have you funded that already, or is it over the next couple of years?
Like for Chinook and for MUHC, and usually for all of our concession activities, it's towards the back end that we would put the equity. In the meantime, we put letter of guarantee to guarantee that we will we're securing the injection of funds. So typically it's upon the end of the construction.
Okay, and presumably in the annual report we'll see what kind of commitment you have made to Chinook's route.
Yeah, but Chinook, you could think it's in certainly much less than we have committed under the McGill Health Hospital.
Okay, and lastly, do you expect any more favorable project reforecasts on the infrastructure side in Q4?
You know, this is, we never expect to have more, but that's part of our business, you know. If we would not do reforecasting, it would be that we don't manage our job. It's part of our life of reforecasting, expecting it, not necessarily, but one thing is for sure, there is some projects that are still being completed that could get some potential upside. So there is possibility, but expectation of that is very difficult.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Pierre Lacroix with Desjardins. Your line is open.
Thanks. Just one question on India, the highway concession you just invested. Could you discuss a little bit about the what kind of return on investment, given it's a new country, and what kind of return on investment you can expect? Is it in line, above, or is it a big opportunity?
Certainly it's above our traditional for two reasons. Certainly it's not a developed country, so there is risk attached to that. There's risk attached to the currency, and thirdly, the concession we're in, there's traffic risk also attached. So the expectation of return must be higher than when we're investing in the McGill University Health Center or the Chinook type of return. So you know, it's I won't mention the return, but it is quite a bit higher than those availability type of return on these investments within developed countries.
Okay, that's helpful. And Gilles, maybe can you comment on the, do you have any other major opportunities on the concession side, either in India or other developed countries, developing countries?
Certainly in Canada, it's the target, the focus market. We will continue to look into India, we continue to look in France, we're now looking into Brazil, but if you're asking me where is, we have about 10 concession that we're following at this stage, it's certainly Canada. But there is other, and like I mentioned, the other three countries as well.
And you mentioned in the past, Gilles, that you're following 10 concessions at this point, and if you were to win all of them, what kind of equity requirement that you would be looking at?
It'd be so nice of a problem. I would think that, you know, $1 billion.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you,
Pierre.
There are no further questions at this time. Gentlemen, I turn the call back over to you.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in today's conference call. We hope you'll join us for the next water conference. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.